was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya?
That beautiful voice, it belongs to Brandon James. Only one person, I'll tell you, who was on America's Got Talent and has written the book Lyrics of My Life. Hey, Brandon, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dale. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you. You know, I recognize your voice because I periodically would watch that show. I mean, not only your singing voice, your speaking voice. It's actually nice to talk to you. You know, I want to begin sort of toward the latter end of the story because it's the question I think people wonder about no matter what the reality show is. How real are the reality shows? So when you first of all, how did you say, okay, America's Got Talent, I want to be there? How did that come about?
Well, strangely enough, I always had this weird obsession with being on one of those competition reality shows. Ever since American Idol came out, I was a super fan and auditioned several times for that and for The Voice, and they just couldn't figure out how to place my classical voice. So then a friend said, why don't you audition for AGT? And I had never been, I'd never watched the show or tuned in. It airs in the summertime, and I'd always been busy doing other things. So I auditioned, and it was a platform where they accepted me. In regards to storylines and things like that, yes, they absolutely, it is real. They were very forthright about us needing to have a story, but not fabricating anything. So we had I had a couple of different scenarios of things that I could run with, and it was all about whether or not I was comfortable sharing this information about my personal stories or not. So, yeah, none of it was fabricated. It was all felt authentic, and they never wanted us to do anything that was inauthentic to who I was as a person. So I actually really respected the way that they
did it.
Everything.
So what if my voice is as good as yours, which it is not, but what if I could sing like you? And they had the choice of either Brandon James or Steve Dale. Both sing the same, but my life story is really boring. I've got nothing. I grew up and I had an ordinary bringing up and I went to the playground. Nothing ever happened to me, but you have a compelling story, and indeed you do. Would they not choose me just because there's no backstory and nothing else really to talk about except the fact that I could sing?
I don't know. When I was a young person, a producer once told me there are two types of singers. One can either sing the phone book, or one has a story that they want to tell. And you need to figure out which one of those types of singers you are. And I chose the latter, and I think that was the right route. And I think it is as simple as that. There's some people, like Whitney Houston. Yes, in the end, she had a very complicated story, but in the beginning, she could sing anything in the most beautiful way possible, and I think that's what attracted her. So it just depends on who you are. I think you could beat me in that competition if you had a better story.
Yeah, so it's in part, anyway, all about the story. Text 312-981-7200 or call, and you can talk to Brandon. And a text here wants to know, do you get the choice of the songs you want to sing, or do they either hint or foist songs your way?
Well, there are certain conditions that apply to that. Some have to do with rights and clearance to songs that they can get. Some artists don't want their songs on shows like that and aren't able to access them, or songwriters even. And then in some cases, it's about what suits the needs of the programming, but they would have never picked me to sing a Britney Spears song as a classical act.
No.
It would always still kind of stay in my lane.
Well, if they wanted you not to succeed, they might. I don't know. So were you allowed
might,
to?
Might.
So the song we just heard, Hallelujah, were you allowed to say, I want to do that song?
Yeah, there was a lot of deliberation in the first few months. I was actually sending videos right from my computer at home in Chicago, where I was living at the time, to Simon Cowell and the other producers, and they would say, this, send us a 30-second clip of this, you know, just raw and real right from home. And I would, they'd say, this works, this doesn't work, this is great. And then they'd make a short list, and then we'd meet in person and kind of determine things from there.
Tell me about
But I never...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I never felt like I was forced into singing or doing anything that I didn't want to.
Tell me about the judges. Did you get to talk to them off screen at all? And if so, what were they like?
I did, especially Heidi Klum and Mel B, who were judges at the time. And Howard Stern, I talked quite a lot to him. Those three in particular were very warm and friendly. Howie Mandel kind of kept to himself and is very much a germaphobe, which I guess we all are these days. But, you know, he has been a fist bumper for a very long time and kind of kept his distance from everybody.
Yeah.
But Howard Stern struck me as the most warm, friendly, wonderful person that I could possibly imagine. He's nothing like his crass, sour sort of radio personality. He's just a big teddy bear with a warm heart and really cares about human beings. I was very surprised to know that.
What advice did they give you, each of them?
They said different things for different reasons. I remember one of the last things Mel B said to me when I got voted off, I saw her in the hallway as I was leaving Radio City that night and kept feeling kind of defeated. She said, "Now, don't forget, 14 million people just saw you all summer long on TV. Use that to your advantage. And the camera loves you. Don't forget that. Make sure and keep TV and things like that as a medium for you because it works well for you." They gave lots of nice advice and were very constructive and cared about everybody.
And have you been able to do that? So you didn't make it all the way. How disappointing was that? And then, given the advice I just heard you say, that I think you said Mel B gave you that advice, have you been able to take that advice? I know that your YouTube channel burns up. I mean, your YouTube concerts are amazing. I've seen some of them.
Oh, thank you. I don't know if I've successfully taken that advice and translated it into a career in television. I certainly wouldn't say that, but as far as using those kind of 15 minutes of fame, for lack of a better description, and using it to propel you forward, I think I did a pretty good job of that. I was lucky enough to meet my husband, who has become my duo partner. He's a cellist from Australia. We met online and have since become a full-time musical duo, and that's kind of where my career went. And I wasn't expecting that at all. And I'm quite frankly much happier working as part of a team as opposed to just being my solo self. I feel like I wouldn't have been as daring and maybe moved forward as much as a performer as I have. I'm quite randomly a very shy person. I'm not when I'm on stage, but I'm terrified of the process and getting to that point and being able to share those experiences with someone else makes that a lot easier for me.
Of course. I hope I'm not terrifying myself. You're not terrified now.
Not at all.
Okay, okay. I don't want to terrify my guest. When we come back, I do want to talk about Lady Gaga. I mean, you do Lady Gaga songs with a completely different take. I wonder if she's aware in any way that you do that. And yeah, you and I have mentioned your story. So what is this guy's story? We'll find out when we come back on WGN. It's 1:44.
You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up. I am strong.
How does he do that? I don't know. Brandon James is here. You recognize that voice. I mean, that's the thing, Brandon. I mean, you go on these shows, and I could see where American Idol said, you know, this guy isn't a pop singer, but those people have not paid attention to your YouTube page where you do a lot of pop music. That's the interesting part, or in some ways, the reality that is sad about music. And I wonder if you found it to be the case for you, where people do put you in a box and say, well, he's not pop, or he is pop, or he's country, or he's not country, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so some people might put me in a box and say that, but I think that the most important thing is just to, as an artist, is just to find what suits you the best and what feels most authentic to you, and run with that. And I'm a classically trained singer who has always gravitated toward pop music. I grew up with contemporary Christian music at church when I was a kid, and that's just kind of where my roots lie. And I think that's why, although I was trained and sang at the opera for many years, I went back to my pop roots, because that's what suits me best. And I like this strange gray area that I lie in, because it brings classical musicians or classical music lovers into the pop realm, and vice versa. It exposes pop music lovers to more classical style instruments and arrangements and things that they wouldn't have otherwise explored. So yeah, my husband and I take a lot of pop rock songs and kind of make them, we classify them, so to speak, make them more classical and play them. And we have a blast doing it, because there aren't a lot of people that are doing things like that right now. So we're having fun. Tons of fun. Too much fun, probably.
Well, never too much fun. And that fun comes across when you watch, or when I watched, some of the performance you've done, you and your husband, on YouTube. So I'm watching one of the songs, and I'm watching, and I'm thinking, oh, that sounds familiar. And then I realize, oh my gosh, that's Lady Gaga. It was a hit record, but you do a completely different take. So, you know, when you do a cover song, very often performers do, of course, they do their own version of it, but you turn it sort of on its head. I wonder if, because you do so much Lady Gaga, that she is potentially aware of what you guys have done.
I don't know. Let's make that happen.
Okay. I'm all for that. Do you think that she'd be complimented by that? I would assume so.
I would hope so. She's a true musician, and appreciates musicianship. And I would hope so, but you never know. We're trying to do our best. She's always been, well, since she first came out in 2008, has just been such a positive influence on me for many reasons, for social reasons and for musical reasons. I have so much respect for her and all the work she's done. So I hope we make her proud, as opposed to make her turn over in her stomach.
No, we don't want to do that. So I want to talk about 2008. I want to talk about your story. So lyrics of My Life, My Journey with Family, HIV, and Reality TV. The reason you wrote the book is because?
Well, to be honest, I started writing blogs after I was on the TV show. My social media manager at the time said it would improve my SEO score, so write blogs. And I found kind of a little voice and enjoyed writing them, and people found them interesting, and a couple of literary agents approached me and said, you have a good story, why don't you turn it into a book? And I never had any aspirations of being a writer of any kind at any point in my life, but I thought, when opportunities like this present themselves, you should take them as part of your journey as an artist and as a human being. Weird things happen, and we should all embrace those things and run with them if we can.
Well, you're one of those writers. You're one of the. I remember I was sitting next to at a lunch function, a fancy function, 1,000 years ago. I'm sitting next to Ann Landers. I don't even know. You're too young to even know who she was. She was like a, if you need help, I'll provide it, this columnist. And I remember she had hair like Marge Simpson. Do you remember who I'm talking about at all?
Yes, I do remember reading her column.
All right, so you'll appreciate. So I said, what? We're just making small talk. So I said, what was the best compliment you've ever gotten? And she said, it's when someone clips out my column and uses a magnet to put it on the refrigerator. That is the best. And your book is kind of like that, in that it's like I'm talking to you, even though I'm not talking to you, because it's very conversational. So 2000, which is a very good thing, by the way, 2008. What was the best thing about coming out, and what was the most difficult part about it?
Well, thank you for saying so. It's very funny, because that's universally what the feedback that I've gotten from people who read the book. They say, I feel like you were just talking directly to me. And thank you for saying that in a complimentary way. I wasn't sure if, you know, I wasn't Ernest Hemingway in this first foray into writing, but I'm still glad that it touched a chord in with some people in another way. In regards to my story and coming out, I sort of didn't get the opportunity to come out in the way that I wanted to. My family told me that they knew that I was gay and that they were not okay with it. And it was offensive. I was affronted. I felt attacked. And I rebelled. I was a young person, 21 years old, and wasn't, you know, young, immature kids aren't always the nicest people. I wasn't really nice to my family when they did that. And I held on to a lot of bitterness and shame and guilt from that experience, and took that into my adult life. And it took years, 11 really, for things to turn around and for me to learn how to love myself again and to forgive them, and understand the place that they were coming from was meant to be pure and a place from love. It took me a long time to understand all those things.
Well, and you came from a very religious family, which probably made it in some ways easier, maybe in some ways more difficult.
Yes, it did, but both of those things. Hmm. I could understand that my parents are deep-rooted in their faith, and I have no issue with that. They are absolutely entitled to do that. But I could also understand how the messaging in some of those faiths can be misconstrued and used against our fellow human beings.
What would be the best thing? And, you know, when I asked you about why you wrote the book, maybe I thought a part of the answer would be to help other young performers who are in some ways in the same place I'm in. Do you hope that the book does do that? Because I see where it could.
Well, after my first televised audition of America's Got Talent, I received a message on Facebook from a young girl. She was 13, and she was in the hospital in a suicide watch ward for 36 hours, had just tried to take her life, and said, I saw you on television. I was nearly about to commit suicide, and I just wanted to let you know that your story is inspiring to me, and it's absolutely the reason I wrote my book and decided to continue to tell more of my story, because I realized how much just simply opening your mouth and revealing to people who you are, who you truly are, you have the opportunity to help so many people. They can relate to you just by being honest and real with people. So that was absolutely the inspiration behind wanting to tell more of the story, was to help young people. And I hope that the book continues to reach young people as well as older people who may not have been aware of everything that, or what it was like to grow up gay in the 90s and even the early 2000s. It's changed so much.
Well, hopefully, hopefully it's changed for the better, or changing still, probably. Best way to put it, for the
Absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lyrics of My Life, that's the name of the book, My Journey with Family, HIV, and Reality TV. We didn't tell the whole story. There's just no time, Brandon James, but hopefully then people will pick up the book, right?
I hope. Now is a good time to pick up a book and hunker down and get some reading done. So I hope they do.
Okay.
I really am proud of this story, because the overarching theme is about finding common ground with people that you disagree with, which in my opinion seems like a rather relevant subject.
Seems
considering
so.
Everything that's going on.
Indeed. Brandon James, thank you very, very much. Congratulations on the book. And people can find you on YouTube and elsewhere in social media easily enough. Brandon, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Dale. It was a pleasure. And it's always wonderful to be affiliated with WGN on any platform. Thank you.
Thank you.